blue sky out there this morning, but boy, we got some rain over the last few days, didn't the province? Different parts of the province, you see the flooding that is happening in some areas of the province. In other areas that desperately needed the rain, got the moisture, sucked it up, whether it was inch, 2 inches, just showing how dry the actual ground was. But it's good to have you here on a Tuesday morning. Evan Bray, thanks so much for joining us. Lots to talk about. We've been following, of course, the breaking news, really escalating, I would say, since the weekend. U.S. stepped into the mission to detach Iran from their nuclear weapon program and facilities. We're going to continue with this discussion in a moment with General Rick Hillier. We're going to open up the lines as well to hear from you today on a few different things. Does the U.S. involvement get us closer to a peace agreement? How are you feeling about that? Also, I'm going to do, we did this, you remember last year in the spring, kind of a Saskatchewan rain gauge. I want to do a check because even as of last night, people were getting dumped on in the province. How much rain did you get over the last number of days? We'll talk a little bit about that. Cybersecurity breaches are happening every day, and I feel like it's one of those topics we become a bit numb to it. We heard about 23andMe. We heard about Google and Facebook having millions, if not billions, of usernames and information stolen. We often will talk on the show about how you can protect yourself by not clicking on an email or a text link. But what about when you give your information to a big company and they get compromised? I've got a cybersecurity expert joining the show to discuss ways to keep you safe. And smoke from the wildfires, something we've talked about in terms of air quality, but what does it do to crops and gardens? I was catching Sean Haney Real Ag on the weekend, and he had a great guest on that. We've decided to bring him on the show as well. So we got lots going on today. Let's get going with the big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, yesterday on the show, we heard from the former Canadian ambassador to Israel, John Allen, about this new conflict that the United States has now stepped into with Iran. On the weekend, we saw the U.S. launch its own strikes against key nuclear sites in Iran. Since then, Iran launched it was a strike, but it was a foreshadowed strike on a U.S. base in Qatar. Yesterday afternoon, U.S. President Donald Trump announces a ceasefire is happening, and now we're hearing maybe it's not quite as solid as we think. I'm happy to have another great guest to join us this morning to talk about this. Friend of our program, former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, General Rick Hillier, joins me from Ottawa this morning. General, thanks for taking the call.
Evan, good morning. My pleasure.
So maybe we'll just start off. Give me your thoughts on what you've seen play out, and particularly with the U.S. stepping into this weekend.
Well, Evan, you know, I watch it just like everybody else, but here's what I believe has occurred. We have come to a logical point that was predictable for the last 30, 35, 40 years. You know, and it doesn't matter what happens with Hamas or Hezbollah or the militias inside of Syria or Assad that was killing hundreds of thousands of people or the Houthis shutting down the Red Sea channels or anything else happening in Iraq, for example. All those lines were traced back to Tehran and the regime that was brutally running Iran since 1979. And so, you know, you can lop off Hamas or Hezbollah, but at some point in time, you have to go back to the head of the octopus. And I think that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. Israel saw that they had to do that. It was just they were going to finish the job. Otherwise, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, they'd just be back at it. The nuclear capability and the fear that Western nations and the Arab nations in particular had about Iran getting the nuclear weapon was huge. I mean, we've been trying in a variety of ways to get rid of that capability or prevent it being developed over the last 25 years by diplomacy, by sanctions, and by other things. And we finally came to a point where the Iranians, given all that time, 20 years, 25 years, to say, okay, we'll stop doing that, now paid the price. So I think it's predictable where we are right now. Where it will go from now, nobody knows. When you start killing people, when war happens, you know, and we'll go through a period of right now, Evan, where the ceasefire, you know, has been announced. But as always, when you have those ceasefires, there is a period of time when somebody does something, somebody responds, and each claims the other has done certain things. In this case, it's really verifiable. That is to say, you can tell that Iran launched several missiles after the supposed hour of the ceasefire. Israel retaliated. That tends to settle down in a few days, and I think that's what will happen here.
Do you think, and I want to continue on with the follow-up that we saw after the U.S. military got involved with those three sites in Iran. Basically, it was announced before it even happened that Iran was going to retaliate against this U.S. military base in Qatar. It's being referred to as symbolic retaliation. Your thoughts on that, and was that Iran wanting to show that they're willing to strike a deal?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the most unusual attacks I think I've seen, heard, and read about and studied a little tiny bit in history, really. Like, okay, we're going to attack you, but here's what we're going to do. Here's when we're going to do it, and here's how it'll transpire, and you can defend yourself completely. And so our sort of quest for honor is satisfied, and you don't feel obligated because you had nobody injured or killed to retaliate anymore. And we'd go on and come up with some kind of ceasefire, some kind of approach for the future. And I think it was exactly that way. Iran felt that it had to do something. They telegraphed very clearly what they were going to do. And it was a limited, obviously, assault. I don't know if that was because that's all they could do now after being beaten by the Israelis and the U.S., or is because they actually didn't want to rouse that lion, the United States of America, anymore. But it was one of the more unusual things. I think what occurred there set some of the conditions for a ceasefire that is, you know, at least shakily in place right now, and maybe gives us a little more hope for the future that Iran is not going to have that nuclear weapon, is not going to be attacking their neighbors, and maybe the people in Iran, the 90 million people who live there, who want something different in their lives, can have a chance now to shape their country.
Was there a greater message being sent here, the military from the United States stepping into this? Are they sending messages to Russia, to China as well with this attack, General?
I think absolutely. I mean, look, you know, people like me, right? I'm military history. I spent my life as a soldier. I watch all these things and I read about them and I study them. But you can be sure that there are analysts in China and North Korea and in Russia who are going through the detail of this in a painstaking manner, looking at every piece of intelligence, how this operation transpired, what enabled it to be successful, where were the vulnerabilities while the operation was ongoing, if there were any indeed, and how that kind of thing would be transferred to their country, or secondly, how they could utilize something similar, you know, China and Russia perhaps doing something similar. Not the same, because I don't think there's a country in the world that can do that kind of thing other than the United States of America. People are watching. There are clear messages there of the might and capability of the United States of America to do something very surgically and to do it no matter what the defenses are put in place and to come at it, in this case, with no losses whatsoever. Yeah, China, North Korea, Russia watching this and combing through it with a fine-tooth comb.
General Rick Hillier is my guest, former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, and someone we have come to rely on our program to come on and help us pull this apart. So, you know, we see going into this past weekend, U.S. President Donald Trump with the announcement he was going to make a decision within a couple of weeks, whether or not they would get involved. Clearly, that was maybe a strategic statement as we reflect on it, knowing that within a couple of days, those strikes happened. But General, those types of military maneuvers are things that I'm guessing the military have in a variety of different proposals in a book, in a plan somewhere. Should the day come that they get the direction, okay, we're going in, there's a variety of options they can present to the decision makers?
Absolutely. And you know, with artificial intelligence now and the computerized wargaming that you can do sort of a main plan, and then you can do branches of that plan, and then sequels to the branches, and then what ifs to the branches and the sequels. And so that almost any contingency, you obviously cannot be perfect, but almost any contingency has been catered for, has been prepared, has been thought about, and you can either respond or eliminate it before it even becomes a factor here. So yeah, these things are laid out and planned. And you know, you always want to keep an enemy or a potential enemy guessing. You never want them to know where the surgical strike will come or where the sword will strike them. We did it, you know, World War II. I mean, General Patton and First United States Army sitting across the channel for 2 months after D-Day, you know, keeping the German 15th Army in place because they thought that the invasion in Normandy was just a feint, was not the main landing, and that worked beautifully and enabled the Allies to get ashore. We continue to do these things. You can do it even more, I think, right now, particularly when you're using technical data, you know, radars, satellites, and those kinds of things, and you can sometimes create a picture for that kind of thing that you simply can't do if somebody's got eyes on. So, yep, plans are made, and all these things are catered for, and you always want to keep the enemy guessing.
General Rick Hillier is my guest. Did you think that the U.S. stepping into this, General, caused for whatever this newest edition of a ceasefire is going to look like? And I'm operating on the assumption that we will get a ceasefire after the next couple of days settle down. Did it help get to that deal quicker, or did it escalate things?
I think it caused the deal to take place. I think Israel was limited to a certain degree in its ability to take out that nuclear capability, that budding nuclear weapon capability, specifically in those three sites. And there may be others, but because of the way they were constructed, the Iranians had learned from Iraq back in 1980 and the Syrians in 2007, who built their reactors and their centrifuges on the surface away from populated areas. And obviously they were taken out quite easily. And so nobody else could do that, in my view, without great risk and potentially great losses other than the United States of America. Once the regime realized their nuclear capability is gone, then all of a sudden they've got really nothing to bargain with, and they were willing to seek a ceasefire. As long as they had the nuclear capability, they were going to stay involved in hostilities against Israel as they tried to accelerate it, in my view, as they would try to accelerate it towards a weapon-grade issue. And so I think the Americans did that, took care of it, and that caused the conditions for a ceasefire. And I agree with you. I think we'll see a solid ceasefire that will last for months, hopefully years, in the next days here. I think the American action did not escalate it, actually set the conditions for that ceasefire.
General Rick Hillier is my guest. I got time for one more question, and maybe I'll bring it back home as we wrap this discussion up, General. What do you think the main concern is for Canada, and what role does Canada and the Canadian government play from this point going forward in what's going on?
Well, first of all, we have to have credibility with our own allies. And you know something, Donald Trump has been beating on Canada for our reluctance, our absolute refusal to invest in our defense. The Europeans are all investing in their defense. They're going to beat on Canada soon at the NATO summit in the closed rooms this week if we haven't invested in defense, et cetera. And so, first of all, you have to have credibility with your friends and with your allies. If you have that, we've got diplomatic, economic, financial, and a whole variety of other ways to help influence the region with our relationships with the GCC nations that are there, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and with Iran itself, and do perhaps things that the United States and Great Britain cannot do because they are those great powers, if you will. I recall when I was running the Conference of American Armies, all the armies in Latin and Central and North America, except for Cuba and Venezuela, and we moved some things. We got some things going really well. The Americans said, "You're doing stuff that we simply cannot do," because every country in sort of Central and South America has a bit of a paranoia towards the United States of America, and nobody really has that against Canada. And we achieved some things with that diplomacy, with use of our military experts, our professionals, and we got some things done that Americans could not do. That's where we can play a part, if we have credibility with them and with our European allies, and that means we got to invest in our defense and security at large.
This has been a great conversation. Always love having you on the show, General. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Evan. Thank you.
General Rick Hillier, former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, with a great take on what's unfolded in the last little while with the U.S. stepping into the fight between Israel and Iran. And then, of course, what's going to happen going forward. I know there's mixed reviews on this. I am a believer that this was a step in the right direction in getting a quicker end to the escalation. You are going to see many more casualties had the U.S. not stepped in here. But there are people that feel this was absolutely the wrong move, which is exactly why we like to open up the lines for you. It's coming up momentarily here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.